I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
Welcome in on this Wednesday edition to the show where we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. Welcome in on this Wednesday. We've got a very busy show for you. We are going to look at how America blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. Seymour Hersh, legendary reporter, is out with a bombshell piece of investigative journalism on exactly how the United States blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, one of the largest international terror plots in world history, arguably.
Yeah, he's got who, how, why, and with whom. He answers all of those questions. We're going to go through his bombshell report, as well as go over the State of the Union, where President Biden seems laser focused on beginning conflicts with China or escalating. That was one of my daughter's vocabulary words tonight. What does it mean to escalate? We're going to show you in the B block what it means to escalate with China, because that seems to be what the U.S. wants.
And the deep state is not happy with Redacted's reporting on Haiti. And it's amazing to watch how the deep state has basically created troll farms in order to try to discredit the reporting that we've been doing here. All the mainstream media organizations have been ignoring the story of Haiti and the impending invasion of that country. So we're going to break that down for you. Plus, Australia has gone nuts, pushing for a fifth vaccine dose. We'll unpack all of that and more as Redacted starts right now. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Hope everyone's doing well on this Wednesday. Let us know where you're joining us from in the chat. Please say hello. Let us know what city, state, country you're joining us from. Good to see everyone on YouTube. Good to see everyone on Rumble. It's amazing. This story is already being suppressed because YouTube maybe they know what we are writing about. They've already said, oh, we're limiting and suppressing this live stream tonight. So please share out by clicking on the like button, share it out to as many people as possible. The Biden White House is already denying Seymour Hersh's report, and the corporate mainstream media is already going to launch into an attack on Seymour Hersh like they did when he broke the story of the My Lai massacre, among other things. So of course he's been exonerated on all accounts. It doesn't matter though. The corporate media and the mainstream media will absolutely try to bury this story.
Maybe you can explain that to someone who may not understand. So we're glad that you found this show. We're glad you're watching right now. But the settings and the creators' tools that YouTube gives us tells us when they have decided not to. How would you put that?
I guess, we set the live stream and we already get like a yellow alert from YouTube that's basically like, hey, we've identified that your stream may not be suitable for people.
Based on our titles. So we haven't said many words.
Not even just the title. It could be the title. Sometimes it's literally like the AI is just like perusing our channel. And it could be something we've written in the description. It could be that we included Seymour Hersh's name in the description of the video.
Which has already been suppressed. Now that, maybe a year and a half might have been a crazy conjecture. But now that we know how they have been suppressing things like Hunter Biden, things like COVIDism. Absolutely. This is a bombshell story we're going to look at. There's a lot in there that is extremely uncomfortable, and it is very conceivable that Maine Tech has already decided to suppress this particular journalist's name as well as the content associated with it. So stick with this show, stick with this segment, and then we will break it up into small pieces, and we may rely on you sharing it organically. So please be at the ready with your mouse clicking.
We also have a daily newsletter. I would love for all of you to subscribe to it. It's totally free. Go to redacted.inc, not.com, and put in your email address, and you'll get a great newsletter. Like, all the kids are talking about it. Everyone loves the newsletter. You might go to the senior citizens home, and all the seniors are talking about it over their canasta. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh my God, Harold, did you read the Redacted newsletter this morning? Of course you did, because you're informed. It's totally free. You'll receive the email first thing in the morning over your cup of coffee. About 6 a.m. Eastern time is when we send it out. Depending on where you are in the world, we know Australian viewers and stuff will get it at nighttime. So, I don't know. Or when you're awake, or in the middle of the night. I don't know.
Depending where you are.
Yeah. Anyway,
redacted. And what time of day you wake up.
Redacted.inc is the place to go to sign up for that. Okay. Without further ado, let's get into tonight's top story, which is about how America blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. The greatest investigative journalist in the world is a man by the name of Seymour Hersh. You might know his work. You might not know his name, though. There is Cy Hersh, known as Cy for short, the great journalist Seymour Hersh over the years. He is 85 years old right now. If only we could live to, you know, that age and have that level of that body of
mental
work.
Acuity.
Yeah. So here's a guy. The only reason we know of the My Lai massacre in Vietnam is because of Seymour Hersh. The only reason we know of the Abu Ghraib prison scandal in Iraq is because of Seymour Hersh. The deep state hates this guy. And right after he's published his reports, of course, the CIA-backed corporate media has come out and tried to take him down repeatedly. He's been exonerated every time. This afternoon, after publishing this bombshell story on the Nord Stream pipeline, already his Wikipedia page is being effed with this afternoon. So they love going after these people.
Well, may I make a contextual connection with the story that we did last week about how it's really only, you know, journalism is not real if it's done by old white men.
Oh, right, right.
Remember
right.
The piece we did last week? I refer to you about whether or not it is objectivity is a goal in journalism, and how journalism by these ancient white men is obsolete and we need not listen to it.
Now, you're not saying this. This, of course, was the, just to be clear, so our audience doesn't freak out. What is she talking about?
Oh, they know because they watched you last week present this information. I hope you did. And if you didn't, seek it out.
Okay.
It was based on a report, a industry report from over 75 news producers saying that they don't think objectivity is relevant any longer and that old white men are irrelevant in the news business. So I do feel like this was very much a prep for us to see any kind of good journalism from an older white man, and we can throw that away.
So this morning, Seymour Hersh published a new piece of investigative journalism on his own Substack. Like, he's not working at the New Yorker anymore. He's left the New York Times. He's doing this on his own. And it's called America, How America Took Out the Nord Stream Pipeline. And in this report, he details down to the exact specifics of how this attack was carried out. This was a major act of international terrorism by the United States. And if anyone did it to us, we would label it as such, right? If anyone did this to us, it would absolutely be labeled as international terrorism. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right? Of course I'm right.
I mean, even if it happened internally, they would call it domestic terrorism.
Right, right. So they would have labeled it as such. So it's funny because at first people didn't think that this story was accurate. They're like, wait a minute, Seymour Hersh wrote a piece about the Nord Stream pipeline, and literally journalists called him to confirm. In fact, a number of news organizations called him, called the greatest journalist alive and said, Cy, did you write this story? It's written under your name about the Nord Stream pipeline. And he said, yeah, of course I wrote it. So this is not like a fake story. This is Seymour Hersh, the greatest news journalist ever, writing this story. So that's the context. And the deep state will try to take him down. So let's go through this report, shall we? Here is the bombshell story from Seymour Hersh, how America took out the Nord Stream pipeline on his Substack. And it's juicy. So the New York Times called it a mystery, he writes, but the United States executed a covert sea operation that was kept secret until now. And I don't want to put words in his mouth. I literally want to read huge chunks of this. The U.S. Navy's Diving and Salvage Center can be found in a location as obscure as it is as its name, down what was once a country lane in rural Panama City, now booming resort city in the southwestern panhandle of Florida, 70 miles south of Alabama border. The center's complex is as nondescript as its location, a drab, concrete post-World War II structure that has the look of a vocational high school on the west side of Chicago. A coin-operated laundromat and a dance school are across what is now a four-lane road. This center has been a training center for highly skilled deep-water divers for decades, who once assigned to American military units worldwide are capable of technical diving to do the good, using C4 explosives to clear harbors and beaches of debris and unexploded ordnance, as well as the bad, like blowing up foreign oil rigs, fouling intake valves for undersea power plants, destroying locks on crucial shipping canals. The Panama City Center, which boasts the second largest indoor pool in America, was the perfect place to recruit the best and the most taciturn graduates of the diving school, who successfully last summer did what they had been authorized to do, 260 feet under the surface of the Baltic Sea, which was using these Navy divers, operating under the cover of a widely publicized midsummer NATO exercise known as Battletops 22. We covered that here on the show because we're in Europe. We can actually see the helicopters and the routine training exercises and the big ships going out into the Atlantic for these training exercises. They planted under this Battletops 22 in the summer, they planted remotely triggered explosives that 3 months later destroyed three of the four Nord Stream pipelines, according to a source with direct knowledge of the operational planning.
Now, he goes on to talk about exactly how this is done, why this group was recruited. Do we have some, I'm sorry, I pulled out some screens of some quotes. If we could take a look at the part about why it was the Navy. We don't have to. You can just read it up.
Okay, sure.
It's this part. You can just search it. So he talks about why exactly they decided to use the Navy and not any special operations. He says there was a vital bureaucratic reason for relying on the graduates of the center's hardcore diving school in Panama City. The divers were Navy only, not members of America's Special Operations Command, whose covert operations must be reported to Congress and briefed in advance to the Senate and House leadership, the so-called Gang of Eight. The Biden administration was doing everything possible to avoid leaks as the planning took place in 2021 and into the first months of 2022. Now, you have to think that if they had actually gone around through proper channels and received permission from Congress and the Gang of Eight, there would have been leaks, especially in a year when we saw Supreme Court leaks. Yes, absolutely, we would have known about this, but this was sort of a workaround in order to keep this top secret. He talks about the reasons why, and I think we can all agree on what the reasons were, about sabotaging Russia, about sabotaging cheap energy to Europe, affordable energy, to sort of bring Germany into the fold of Western sanctions and weaponizing of Ukraine. He says just right here, if you can find this part, the administration's attention was once again, I'm just going to let you find it for a second, was focused on Nord Stream because as long as Europe remained dependent on the pipelines for cheap natural gas, Washington was afraid that countries like Germany would be reluctant to supply Ukraine with the money and weapons it needed to defeat Russia. So for all of the conjecture we had about sabotaging certain partners, this is not something I think we considered very much, is that Europe would be loath to cross Russia while these pipelines were still in place. Because Europe at the time, you recall, all throughout last summer was talking to big game saying, we have these pipelines, they're great, we're not going to turn them on because we're upset with Russia about Ukraine. So they're there, they're fine, we're not going to turn it on. We're fine without you, no worries. But it was, and we talked a lot about how that temptation was there, that the Biden administration was worried that the temptation would get too great, that people would suffer too much, and they would eventually just turn on the spigot. Yeah. But he is saying that not only that, to remove the temptation, but also to make sure that there was no way that they would be reluctant to cross Russia.
So they wanted Germany to basically be cornered here and then to take off the table cheap Russian natural gas to Germany, right? So that Germany would be forced to buy your American natural gas, and Europe in general would be forced to buy American natural gas. And they used Norway as the staging ground. One of the big players in all this was Norway. They knew that Norway could be, you know, was a big piece of this in all of this. Also, the big players, we can go through the Norway thing in a second, but I think the big players from the United States side are key. Jake Sullivan, Ned Price, Victoria Nuland. These guys were at the heart of this organization, the planners of this. And what's amazing is how many times they got up and lied to our faces about this. Right. Anthony Blinken, particularly, who lied to our faces and said the United States had nothing to do with this. Well, we knew on this show right from the very beginning that the United States was tied to this. Of course they were. Any idiot would know better than that. Of course, you had a lot of idiots that were marched out on CNN. You had former heads of the CIA marched out on the CNN and saying, no, it was clearly Russia's fault. It's clearly Russia's fault. Do we have that full screen from Russia, which almost immediately they called out and confirmed exactly what the United States, what Seymour Hersh has said in his reporting about the Battletops 22 plan over the summer. Here's what the Russian embassy at the time said. We note the attempts by some U.S. legislators to put blame on Russia for the incidents that occurred on Nord Stream 1 and 2 gas pipelines. Perhaps they have a better view from the top of Capitol Hill. But if that's the case, they must also have seen the U.S. warships activities at the very site of the Russian infrastructure disruption just the day before. Or noticed drones and helicopters fly over there, or observed U.S. Navy exercises with underwater explosives that had been conducted in the same area some time ago, meaning that summer. Finally, they should have recalled the promises made by President Biden to bring an end to the Nord Stream 2 project. And if you need a reminder of President Biden calling for the end of the Nord Stream pipeline, here is President Biden talking about how we'll put an end to it, no matter what. Watch.
Let me answer the first question first. If Germany, if Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine. Again, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
But how will you do that exactly, since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control?
We will. I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
We'll
yeah, we just got a super chat asking if Great Britain was involved. They are not mentioned in this report. That's not to say they didn't know or weren't complicit, but he does not mention Great Britain.
As George Eliason has reported also, or has been working on as well, this piece and this idea that Germany was also involved, and there were some green activists, green eco-terrorists involved in Germany that were actively involved in this as well. So Germany is not quiet in all of this, but this Seymour Hersh piece particularly is just on the United States side of this right now. Go ahead, David.
It would seem that Germany would have to be involved in some way, because it's like, if this is true, then they knowingly gave up cheaper energy to screw their people, right? Or they can claim that they didn't know, but now they do. And so what, do they turn around and now take the gas to help the people that they said they couldn't before? Because, you know, it's like they're in a spot now, like they've got some questions to answer.
Right. Now, more about just sort of saying the quiet part out loud. We have shown you this piece about President Joe Biden saying there will be no Nord Stream pipeline. Victoria Nuland also said something similar. We want to remind you what she said, because Seymour Hersh said that these were kind of key components to getting around congressional approval, is dropping these hints and then not following up on them. So listen.
With regard to Nord Stream 2, we continue to have very strong and clear conversations with our German allies. And I want to be clear with you today. If Russia invades Ukraine, one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward.
Okay. Now, the part of these components, the fact that the president and Victoria Nuland both mentioned this plan, meant that it was no longer a covert operation. All they had to do was just kind of do it, because the president had already announced that they could do it. So here's what he says. The plan to blow up Nord Stream 1 and 2 was suddenly downgraded from a covert operation requiring that Congress be involved to one that was deemed as a highly classified intelligence operation with U.S. military support. Under the law, the source explained, this was no longer a legal requirement to report the operation to Congress. Because they've already dropped these hints, this was strategic. All they had to do now was just do it, still had to be secret. And the Russians have because of the Russians' superlative surveillance on the Baltic Sea. So, you know, now that they've talked about it, there we go.
And then
they've implied it.
And then, of course, Victoria Nuland came out in that Senate testimony in front of Senator Ted Cruz and was like, I'm just as excited as you are, Senator Ted Cruz, about us carrying out international terrorism. Watch.
Senator Cruz, like you, I am, and I think the administration is very gratified to know that Nord Stream 2 is now, as you like to say, a hunk of metal at the bottom of the sea.
Yeah. So in return, then...
So how did they get cooperation in this region? Well, it turns out they turned to Norway, and he actually makes a compelling argument for why they would do this. He says the Norwegian government angered liberals and some moderates in its parliament last November by passing the Supplementary Defense Corporation, the SDCA. Under the new deal, the U.S. legal system would have jurisdiction in certain agreed areas in the north over American soldiers accused of crimes off base, as well as over those Norwegian citizens accused of suspected or interfering with the work at the base. So Norway handed this sort of legal jurisdiction over to the U.S. So Norway was an easy partner. Not only that, but back in Washington, planners knew that they had to go with Norway because Norway, he says, they hated the Russians. And the Norwegian Navy was full of superb sailors and divers who had generations of experience in highly profitable deep sea oil and gas exploration, the source said, and they could be trusted to keep the mission secret. The Norwegians may have had other interests as well, he says. The destruction of Nord Stream pipeline, if the Americans could pull it off, would allow Norway to sell vastly more of its own natural gas to Europe. Mm. That's interesting. Those are interesting motives, are they not?
Yes. So this is why they wanted to pull Norway into this mess. Again, there's a lot of deep state players here. There's a lot of people who were involved in this. And does it just stop at Washington, D.C.? Clearly not. Clearly not, especially when you're involving NATO in all of this. And there was immediate response, of course, from Poland when this was blown up. So there was, you know, there was obviously deep-reaching connections across NATO and across NATO countries.
But he points out that the Norwegians and the Americans had a location and in the operations. But there was another concern is that as they prepared for this, if there was any unusual underwater activity in the waters of this region, it would draw the attention of the Swedes or the Danish, which would report it, which tells us then. And I think that most of the reporting we've seen up until now has told us that the Swedes and the Danish are not implicated. I haven't seen any reporting where people thought that they were involved.
No, but when Sweden figured out like what happened, they're like, but we have the report. We just can't share it with anybody. Like, we know who did this, but maybe we can't make this public. We're sorry.
Yeah. I mean, they have been suspiciously quiet.
Right.
Even though they've said they have an idea who it was, they aren't interested in reporting it. But the Norwegians and the Americans at least thought that they would report suspicious activity in the run-up to this, which is why we think that they were not major players. So it's to the U.S. and Norway right now. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and it's so many U.S. politicians were actively talking about the destruction of the pipeline. Like, is it any surprise at all that the U.S. carried out this international terrorism? Just watch. Here's a compilation of just a short little clip here of a number of U.S. politicians calling for this. Watch.
The sledgehammer that we have against Putin is to shut down the Nord Stream 2 pipeline and do it permanently.
This is a real, acute, and proven threat.
I'm a big proponent of making sure we stop Nord Stream 2 from happening.
Stopping the Nord Stream 2.
And we need
the chancellor is there right
after,
now.
Assets like the Nord Stream 2.
And, you know, Trump also isn't wrong to identify Nord Stream 2, this pipeline that he talked about today, as problematic.
There is still time to stop Nord Stream 2 if we act quickly.
The timeline for action is short.
And I'm not going to stop working to halt Nord Stream 2 to stop Russia.
End it once and for all.
I mean, he needs to kill the Nord Stream 2 pipeline right now.
And I think the most important thing right now, and what Zelensky said, is they want Nord Stream 2 stopped. Mm. That's what I see as the most tangible reason and the tangible effect.
I believe we must stop this Nord Stream 2 pipeline.
Yeah, and they did. Somebody in our chat says, Alice Coomer says, old news. No, this is actually breaking news this afternoon. Not sure if you just tuned in late or not, but Seymour Hersh, the greatest investigative journalist in the world, has now confirmed that the United States did, in fact, blow up the Nord Stream pipeline. So this is confirmed by Seymour Hersh. Of course, the White House trying to deny it this afternoon. Which reporters will be brave enough to start? This is arguably one of the biggest stories in the last decade. And the United States carried out international terrorism, and not only that, eco-terrorism.
Yeah.
With the amount of gas that was pushed in the atmosphere, they're supposed to be green, right? They're supposed to be in favor of, you know, lack of CO2 emissions and really caring for the planet.
This was one of the major eco disaster. In the president's State of the Union last night, he was talking about how, you know, we will still need some natural gas for a while. People in the audience booed, and he's like, we don't want to, right? Because we want to be green. You shouldn't be using gas. Yeah, this is the talking points, at least out of the administration, that they care about the environment, but yeah, not if they're going to do this to the sea.
And it is old news to anyone who's been watching our show, and anyone with a brain, as someone said in the chat, with common sense, right? We, from the very beginning, were calling that this was, in fact, the United States involved in this, but we didn't have we had all the pointers. But Seymour Hersh finally put it together and actually has the evidence now and has the confirmation of this. And so now will reporters force the Biden administration to respond to this? And will anyone be held accountable for this? And my question is, then what will Putin's move be in all of this? What will the Russian response be in all of this? In fact, this afternoon, we saw the lights go out of the Capitol building for a while. In the middle of a Twitter hearing this afternoon, all the lights got shut off. We've seen multiple attacks on energy infrastructure and across the United States over the past couple of months. The greatest number of attacks on our electrical substations over the past year. So what's going on here? Like, what will the next moves be? If you want to provoke the bear, you're absolutely doing it right now. Go ahead, David. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say the usual suspects. We already know who the Putin apologists are. Glenn Greenwald, the Gray Zone, Jimmy Dore. Matt Taibbi, those are the guys that are going to cover this. Those are the real journalists out here. Glenn Greenwald, I don't know if I mentioned him, us. But anybody basically who's been called a Putin apologist, everybody else, they're going to probably try to toe the establishment line, blow this off, say that everybody that's talking about it is on Putin's side. We're getting money from the Kremlin.
Right.
Seymour Hersh, I can already see it happening.
The guy who literally broke the My Lai massacre, who showed us all like the lies that were being perpetrated on the American people in Iraq and the scandals that were unfolding in Iraq. He was the one that showed us those things, right? So the track record is clear, but you're right. He's, like I said, his Wikipedia page is already being manipulated this afternoon. The White House is denying it.
Somebody in chat just said Reddit removed a thread discussing the Seymour Hersh article.
Mm-hmm.
Did they already?
Yeah, of course.
And I mean, what's so interesting is that as this really good reporting unfolds, the mainstream media has to question, why did we run with that Putin did it narrative? And they did. It was just to like pick up the football and run down the field. When anyone who was a critical thinker was like, that doesn't smell pass the smell test at all. Were you going to say something, Philip? No.
Yeah. Sorry. I was going to say, I was just going to say that, Reddit, you have to be careful about saying Reddit took it down, 'cause it could have just been a moderator in a particular subreddit. So yeah, you'll definitely want to look into that. 'Cause if Reddit is actually actively taking it down, that would be very interesting, but it's a little hard to tell if it was Reddit or if it was just a moderator for that particular subreddit.
So Mark Ames, right?
All I wanted to bring up.
Okay. Mark Ames on Twitter says this: expect Hersh's bombshell scoop to get smeared by the corporate media, as they've done to nearly all of his scoops going back to his 1974 expose on the CIA's illegal domestic spy program, attacked by the Washington Post, Time, Newsweek, etc., but validated by the Church Committee. So he's always been exonerated. Like, his reporting is impeccable. So you just keep, they'll go after him. They will go after him. And that's what they'll try to do to discredit him.
All right. Let's talk a little bit more about, let's see, we've done the who, we've done the why. Let's go to the when and the how.
Okay.
He has questions, or he has answers about that too. He talks about how there was a Baltic operation that was already scheduled for June of 2022, known as Baltic Operations 22 or BALTOPS 22. This is a Navy exercise that was made very public. And so it happened in plain sight. And the idea was, I think he says it was Norway's idea, that like, hey, it's a while we're down there situation.
Right.
Like getting your tubes tied when you have the baby.
Like while you're having the baby, let's just get those tubes tied. Let's plant some explosives on Russia's Nord Stream pipeline.
Yes. And so they did that. And the plan was to detonate within just a few days because of the equipment that they were using. When he says at the last minute, the Biden administration got a little cold feet and said, we're worried that if this happens right after Baltops, it looks a little too suspicious. So can we remote detonate with a series of commands? Why is that funny?
It's just hilarious.
I didn't make it up.
No, I know. But it's amazing. Like, they're so stupid. Like, the Baltops operation is literally running exercises in the Baltic, like right near the pipeline. And then their plan was a few days later to blow it up. Like, anyone with a brain would have, okay, drawn that connection. Like, but just allowing a month or two afterwards. Oh, now we totally forgot that NATO was running exercises there.
Well, I was gonna say, like, somebody's like, oh no, those magnetic explosives slipped out of my pocket in my wetsuit and must have accidentally stuck right to the side of the pipeline.
Yeah. How'd those get there? Yeah.
How'd those get
magnetic?
There?
So we got the win.
So we know that the when is what, you know, we had sort of already surmised was it during Baltops 22, and that then Washington asked for this remote detonator because they thought that 2 days after Baltops was just too much. So they asked, can we come up with a way to remote detonate? It was a big ask, but apparently it got done. Tasked with an arbitrary last-minute change was something the CIA was accustomed to managing. It was like, they live for this stuff, right? That's what they're made for.
And they think we're stupid. And they think we won't do anything about it. And, you know, it's like, what? We need to throw these bums out. And someone just in the chat says, y'all need a new White House. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
We do need a new White House. Ryan Clark. No, it says that. Christian Bennett says, we all need a new White House. Yes.
Okay. And so they got what they wanted. They came up with a sort of trigger timing type thing. It's a little technical, and I'm not sure I'm the right person. They said they wanted the signal to be robust enough that no other signal could accidentally send a pulse. It was like, you know, these frequencies. You didn't want like an underwater sea creature just sort of making a call and then blowing it up. They had a way. And as you know, it happened in September of 2022.
So there it is, Seymour Hersh, how America took out the Nord Stream pipeline. Read his amazing report. You can go through it, published just a few hours ago today, but really, really fantastic. So thank you, Seymour Hersh, for once again proving that at 85 years old as an investigative journalist, you can still pull it off.
Now, he claims to have spoke with people with direct knowledge of the operation. You know, whether or not Russia says, oh, this is the piece of information we needed or not, I don't know, because Russia has been saying for months that they know that it was the United States. So is this anything new to Russia, which also has intelligence? Who knows? But he does talk about the Ivy Bells operation from the mid-50s when Russia ran an undersea cable, and the United States tapped it because Russia thought that it was so remote that nobody could possibly be listening into it, and they listened for over a decade. So there is precedence for this, but whether or not there will be an international response, which I think there should be, whether or not there will be any retaliation, which, of course, nobody wants to see, but we want to see real answers.
Yeah, there will be. There will be. And this is all, you know, all indications are pointing to a massive offensive unfolding in Ukraine very, very shortly. So this could be the retaliation, and we'll see how this unfolds, unfortunately. But this is the high stakes brinkmanship that they're playing with, and they're going to get us all killed as a result of it. Thanks, CIA. Thanks, Victoria Nuland, Anthony Blinken. Will these guys be fired? Will these guys be held accountable? I mean, is anyone going to have the balls to ask them at the next press conference, Anthony Blinken, like, hey, you guys are responsible for the Nord Stream pipeline. You lied right to our faces. Why are you still employed, and why are you not behind bars? Like, why is there not a DOJ investigation into this? Why?
And when you think of all the protest in Germany of people who are freezing and cannot pay for affordable energy, those people are also owed an explanation, 100%. Right. And so will the European Union call for some explanations? We're waiting.
Well, I thought Germany gave their explanation, and that their citizens were happy to give up their gas and freeze this winter.
That's what they did. We were told, right? Yeah. Yeah. The foreign minister for Germany is like, you know what? The people are fine. We care more about Ukraine, is what she told us all. So anyway, we've got more news to get to here on this busy, busy Wednesday. Seymour Hersh dropping that bomb. We've got the war with China that's about to unfold, as all indications are from last night's State of the Union and what's unfolding this afternoon. The White House issuing a red alert on what China is doing with spycraft, not weather balloons, but actual aircraft. We'll bring you that story. Plus Haiti and the deep state. The deep state is not happy with the coverage that Redacted has been covering about Haiti over the past couple of months. In fact, they've created a new troll farm and try to take down the stories about Haiti, about that coming invasion of that country. We'll bring that story to you. But first, I have to tell you about what's happening in this economy right now, because you saw Bank of America issue this alert yesterday that they see a massive recession coming in 2023. Now, we were talking privately today with a couple of people. They're saying, I'm telling my parents, like, get your money out of the stock market. Be smart about your money right now. And that's what they were telling us. That they were like having conversations with their parents about this. It's no secret. If you're tuned in, you know the experts are predicting a recession heading our way. Layoffs are already happening. In the newsletter today, we covered a number of rounds of layoffs. Mm-hmm. eBay is laying off thousands of people.
Zoom
is laying off thousands of people. You know it's bad when all these tech companies are laying people off and the banks are laying people off. So the signs are there, folks. So if you've got your money sitting in a 401k or it's just like lingering in some plan that's tied to the government, please be careful. We're issuing this warning. And one thing you can do is work with our friends over at Lear Capital. If you've got an old 401k laying around, again, that's in stocks, you can convert it into gold and silver. And look, gold is going up nicely, so is silver. But that's not why you buy these things. You buy it to protect your money. So if you've got $100, it's losing value every day if it's in the US dollar, right? So if you have it, putting it into gold or silver actually is a hedge against it losing its value through inflation, which is what's constantly happening. So if you're interested in investing in gold with Lear, they'll help you start purchasing precious metals or converting part of your IRA or a 401k into a gold or silver IRA that you control. So call Lear today. They're great friends of the show, 800-613-3557. Just call them on that 800 number, write that down and give them a call, and you get their free gold kit. And you can, and also if you want, you can go to LearRedacted.com, LearRedacted.com. There are a lot of gold companies to choose from, and Lear Capital has over 25 years experience, thousands of five-star reviews, and a risk-free guarantee that gives you 24 hours to review your purchase before you commit to it. So if you want to buy $1,000 of gold, you can think it overnight if you want. We are actively buying as much gold as we can right now in our family. Very, very important to protect yourself with this coming collapse that is about to unfold for these currencies. So again, thanks to Lear for supporting the show. All right. Everything good?
I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you for asking.
So my text exploding there, and I can't see them during the show. I just feel my watch exploding with texts.
Oh, David is tapping out for the afternoon.
David is ill.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep.
But I'm still here.
Okay. So I get flustered. I'm like, what's something bad happening? And I'm like, I can't see it because I have Do Not Disturb turned on during the show. So I just feel I just feel my wrist exploding. All right. On this show, we've always said it's all about China. And we've always said, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do instead. Actions speak louder than words. But when they sync up, both the words and actions, when they're in lockstep, you have a serious problem on our hands. And that's exactly what's happening with China, a country that we've essentially surrounded, encircled right now with military bases and warships, and announcing new military bases just a few days ago, and thousands of American troops descending on these new military bases. On Tuesday night's State of the Union address, President Biden took direct aim at China, saying he's solely responsible, by the way, for stopping the rise of China. Listen to this laughable moment.
Before I came to office, the story was about how the People's Republic of China was increasing its power and America was failing in the world. Not anymore.
Yeah. What?
I didn't understand that anyway.
Like he said, before I came to office, people were talking about how China was taking off and is the new world power. But now that I'm in office, now people aren't talking about that anymore. What planet are we on?
Biden single-handedly defeated China's economy.
Yeah, apparently.
Like Genghis Khan.
So, yeah. I mean, that was the one crazy moment. You even see Kevin McCarthy in the background like going, what? What are you talking about?
Oh, so but you saw Kamala Harris go, yep.
Yeah, yeah, because she's just, you know, a puppet. So Biden went on about, I want to get past that, the funny parts of this, but let's get into the meat and potatoes of this. So he repeats that, and I want to get into some of the nuts and bolts of what he says here. Watch.
Which, by the way, it's really hard to surmise what he said. I mean, I watched it this morning like, huh? Because he speaks in so many clauses. He doesn't finish his sentences. He's constantly squinting. and making a like curmudgeon-y face, like he's pissed off even when he's happy.
Yeah.
It's really hard to parse out what he means here. So kudos to you for doing that, because I scratched my head all morning watching this. Okay, now we can, I just needed to say that. Go ahead.
Before I came to office, the story was about how the People's Republic of China was increasing its power and America was failing in the world. Not anymore. We made clear, and I made clear in my personal conversations, which have been many, with President Xi, that we seek competition, not conflict. But I will make no apologies that we're investing in, to make America stronger. Investing in American innovation and industries that will define the future that China intends to be dominating. Investing in our alliances and working with our allies to protect advanced technologies so they will not be used against us. Modernizing our military to safeguard stability and deter aggression. Today, we're in the strongest position in decades to compete with China or anyone else in the world. Anyone else in the world. And I'm committed.
It's also laughable, right? As we've had a number of military experts on our show pointing out that we can't even deal right now with Russia. We don't have the military capability to deal with Russia right now. We want to send Abrams tanks. Sorry, we don't have them. It's going to take us months. Maybe by the end of the year, we'll send them to Ukraine. We do not have the capability. We have a military with recruitment levels down to their lowest levels in decades. In what readiness scenario does he think we are ready to attack China? As Douglas McGregor, Colonel Douglas McGregor, said on our show, China will absorb everything we throw at it. We would have to sail around the world to try to attack China on a fool's errand. It's absolutely ridiculous. Really odd. I mean, it's just crazy that he would say that, and we get this like standing ovation there, that we are now at our best military presence and ability to handle China. And that's what they're trying to do. So, you know, you have President Biden, you have the Biden administration over the past few hours issuing red alerts about China, warning that now they're witnessing Chinese aircraft over five different allied countries right now, surveilling five different allied countries, launching warships over the past few hours in provocation in the South China Sea. And of course, all of this tied to the stupid weather balloon story, mm-hmm. which is laughable. And it was really odd last night that Biden ignored anything else foreign policy-wise, didn't talk about almost no mention of Russia, no mention of Ukraine, all foreign policy, didn't talk about Yemen, didn't talk about Syria, didn't talk about Somalia, where we are, Iraq, where we are actively fighting wars, where we actively have troops in these war zones. He says, God bless the troops, but makes no mention of these wars that we are currently involved in. Biden went on to say that, quote, make no mistake, as we made clear last week, referring to the stupid weather balloon, if China threatens our sovereignty, he says, we will act to protect our country. And we did, he said of the balloon incident. And he said, let's be clear, winning the competition with China should unite us all. So, okay, the balloon incident is attacking our sovereignty. And let's just be clear, we have literally encircled China with and adding a new round of military bases, announcing the start of four new military bases in the Philippines.
Yes.
And a new one that just opened in Guam. Imagine for a second if China did that to us in Puerto Rico or just on our foot, on our doorstep, just opened up multiple bases all surrounding us, launching military stealth drills. This is what they did, the U.S. military did over the past few days with the South Koreans, launching stealth bombers and F-18 Hornets right on our doorstep. What would we do?
We would escalate.
Exactly. So it's really odd then, because the amount of money that China has given the Biden administration and his family would make you question all of this, right? The Biden administration has reaped the benefits of China for many, many years. The Biden Center has received lots of money from China, Hunter Biden as well. So over the years, President Biden has routinely praised the rise of China. Like, it's a good thing for America. It's a good thing for the world. Listen.
China is not our enemy.
I believe then, and I'm even more convinced now, that a rising China is an incredibly positive development for not only China, but the United States and the rest of the world.
It is in our self-interest
that China continue to prosper.
China's a great nation, and we should hope for the continued expansion.
We want to see China rise. A rising China can be a significant asset for the region and the world. China is going to eat our lunch? Come on, man. They're not bad folks, folks. But guess what? They're not competition for us.
China's not our problem.
We can help them with some of their problems.
China's not a problem.
The idea that China is going to eat our lunch is bizarre.
And so what are we worried about?
We talk about China as our competitor. We should be helping.
Do you think in retrospect that you were naive about China?
No.
I mean, he did say in the speech, though, but we're willing to, you know, work for progress if there's some economic advantage in Chinese cooperation with America. That will do. We're open for business, but we hate you and we're coming for you unless there's money there, basically.
Yeah, it's all a distraction. I mean, this all of this weather balloon stuff is a total distraction. Like there's some sort of major threat, right, to the United States, which I think is laughable. It was all a distraction for what the U.S. is currently doing near Taiwan. For instance, in the past week or so, the U.S. and NATO have really started ramping up their anti-China rhetoric through words and actions. Last week, the U.S. launched F-18 Hornets in the South China Sea off the USS Nimitz. They also launched military exercises with the South Koreans using stealth bombers and heavy fighters. And of course you had Lloyd Austin, you know, you had Lloyd Austin showing up in the Philippines, making these big announcements about these new military bases, and nine military bases and a new one in Guam just opened that'll hold 5,000 U.S. Marines that will be stationed there. So here's a look at the Philippines. The Philippines grants U.S. greater access to bases in China concerns. And here are the new U.S. to invest more in Philippines bases. Here are all the different bases lined up. U.S. secures deal on Philippines bases to complete the arc around China. The arc around China. A new agreement by the U.S. and the Philippines will give the U.S. four more military bases in the Philippines. Here's Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin talking about this new partnership and the China threat.
We discussed concrete actions to address destabilizing activities in the waters surrounding the Philippines, including the West Philippine Sea. And we remain committed to strengthening our mutual capacities to resist armed attack.
To resist armed attack. So when you're on someone's back doorstep.
Is that an attack?
You know, like you're like literally in their backyard provoking them.
It depends on what state you're in.
And all you need is like a little false flag incident, right? All you need is another weather balloon incident for us to escalate and say, see what they just did?
Yes.
It'll be, you know, and then we had this leaked memo last week from a U.S. four-star general reported in the Washington Post saying that we will be at war with China in 2 years, if not sooner. So that was a U.S. general warning troops that the war with China is possible in 2 years. That was General Michael Milahan, who oversees the Air Force's fleet of transport and refueling aircraft. And he says, basically, this is what we're going to see in 2 years. We'll see a possible war. So get ready. Could be ready to go on this.
Okay.
So get ready for that. Austin also repeated more propaganda claims in which he accused China of threatening security in the Asia Pacific hemisphere, which is a total lie, of course, and hides the fact that the United States is the one that has peppered the area with all sorts of provocation, including weapons bases with the explicit aim of waging a future war with China. Here's how many military bases are interest in this region. Take a look at this map. This is U.S. bases or military interest in that space. Can you imagine if they had that same setup with us?
No.
Can you wrap your head around that? There is no freaking way we would allow that to happen.
No, in fact, we have a rule against it in the Monroe Doctrine.
Right. Our own President Monroe with the Monroe Doctrine. Like, that's our own list here. So I like this tweet. The U.S. has surrounded China with military bases in Japan, South Korea, Guam, Okinawa, Philippines, and Australia. Biden created the AUKUS nuclear pact as part of the broader China encirclement strategy. U.S. imposes illegal sanctions on China. Whose sovereignty needs protecting here?
Right. Good point.
Yeah. So at the same time, the Pentagon leader, the civilian head of the NATO alliance, Jens Stoltenberg, also traveled to East Asia, where he warned that Russia and China pose a threat to international peace and security. Here's Stoltenberg explaining that if Russia is not defeated in Ukraine, China will be the next problem. Listen.
We don't regard China as an adversary, we don't seek confrontation with China, or actually we don't seek confrontation with anyone. NATO is a defensive alliance. And we will continue to engage with China on issues where we see common or potential common interest on arms control, on climate change, and other issues.
Okay, so we don't see them as a threat, but we do, because we're putting all sorts of aircraft and everything right in their backyard. And all you needed to do is listen to President Biden last night during the State of the Union. And all of this odd timing with this weather balloon garbage, Lloyd Austin flying there, Jens Stoltenberg flying there, Antony Blinken set to go there but paused because of the weather balloon incident, and is using that as an example to increase the, you know, to ratchet up like heated rhetoric. And then this afternoon, the White House issuing this alert on Chinese aircraft. Now, it's not just weather balloons. No, it's actual spy aircraft that are going over NATO allies right now.
I know our audience is not the type to buy that. I mean, it just doesn't smell to pass the smell test. And as soon as you see that, you know, most of us who do the reading, who do the stinking homework, are like, what's really there? What's really going on? But I guess that works for them on a regular basis, that they sort of get public perception permission to move forward with these aggressive moves, because people buy it the same way they do around other aggressors in Syria or what have you, whatever. I mean, name the region and it's like a name that tune of, you know, what we'd like you to think about world leaders for our own in our own gain.
Well, I mean, if it's going to be economic and that's at the heart of all of this, it just comes down to U.S. dollar hegemony and the power of the U.S. dollar and losing that power. And if we're ceding our power to the Chinese yuan, and oil backed by the yuan, like that's the real story here.
Absolutely. And just this morning, I think it was RT that reported that Europe is no longer setting the price of Russian gas. Russia said, we're not going to deal with this and these price gaps. And they've turned around and started working more with China. That absolutely is not unrelated. I've spoken a double negative, but you know what I mean.
Right. Well, we've got more news. We're going to cover this Australia story and the crazy vaccine story out of Australia. Like, they're pushing for this fifth dose now, and you won't wait till you hear what the government is saying about it. That's crazy. We're also going to look at the latest on Haiti and how the deep state is coming after our coverage of Haiti. They don't like the story. They don't like us actually telling the truth about it. So the troll farms have popped up in order to attack that story and the reporting there. But we will not be deterred. But first, we should tell you about our community at Redacted. If you'd like to join our community, become a VIP, you can do that. You can become a Rebel VIP and support independent journalism by just going to redacted.inc. That's the place to go. Click on, if you're on Rumble, you can click on the red button there. Join our locals community. We release exclusive content later in the week. We also have exclusive only, you know, peppered throughout. And we're going to be doing members only live streams as well. So after the show, we'll be hanging out and kibitzing just with members. Again, for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support our independent journalism here. Become a Redacted Rebel VIP by going to redacted.inc and joining our community. Well, the deep state certainly doesn't like our coverage of what's been going on in Haiti. Now, earlier this week, for some context here, we reported that the Canadian military started deploying aircraft over Haiti. This mission, it said, was done in collaboration with the Haitian National Police to, quote, disrupt gangs. We also showed you a few days ago that multiple mainstream media outlets suddenly decided to descend on Haiti. They totally ignored the story up until just this past week. They descended on Haiti in an attempt to try to get an interview with Jimmy Charizier, the leader of the G9 Federation. And then after they got these interviews, they smeared him as a gang leader. They also ignored the other actual gangs fomenting violence in Haiti. With that said, then the exact language of the Canadian government was used in these articles. So with all of that to say, we've now uncovered a third element of this attempt to manufacture consent for the foreign invasion of Haiti. Joining me now is Washington correspondent for Redacted, Dan Cohen. Dan, this is unbelievable. So you noticed something crazy that started unfolding on social media over the past few days. What did you find?
Well, after our last report that we filmed earlier this week on the Canadian military flying this warplane over Haiti, I started to see kind of suspicious accounts commenting and saying, oh, this is completely fake. These guys are lying. And so I started digging in. And what I found is an obvious troll farm. So I want to take you through exactly how this troll farm operates. So if we look at this tweet, this is actually linking to our interview, our piece on YouTube, this redacted piece that we published. And it says in French, for all those who are not in Haiti, the consensus in the streets of Port-au-Prince is that of contentment with a Canadian military aircraft providing overflight and surveillance.
Oh, so
and
they love it. Someone, they love the idea that Canada is there. Okay, sure. Okay.
Yeah. Haitians, according to this one Twitter account with that's brand new and has this extremely high quality professional photo of a young, beautiful Haitian or black person. That's what we're getting. Mm-hmm. And then the comment in reaction is another troll says, this channel only misinforms is just clickbait. It has already been verified with previous videos, so they don't like our previous reporting either. Hopefully there will be a military force sent to Haiti to help with security. Hashtag aid Haiti, which is one of the hashtags they've been using. So if you look at these accounts, they are retweeted by each other. They're brand new, all started in January 2023. And they all, again, have these highly professional, high-quality photos of young black people and all retweet each other.
Okay? So they're all tweeting each other in January. These accounts just started. It's so curious the timing of this. This troll farm starts right as these mainstream media outlets are trying to get interviews. So suddenly the Associated Press, Sky News, Al Jazeera all descend on Haiti right around the same time that these troll farm accounts begin. And the United Nations retakes its move towards bringing in, you know, some sort of invasionary force inside of Haiti. All of these things transpire at the same time.
And it gets even better, Clayton. So then this was not only was this troll farm created, and the mainstream media descended on Jimmy Cherizier, forcing their way into his neighborhood and demanding an interview because he's such a dangerous gang leader, as evidenced by their behavior. But also, this happened right after the Canadian and Haitian governments had signed a memorandum of understanding to ramp up their collaboration. So this troll account's first tweet is actually praising the signing of the MOU, saying, thank you, Lord, and thank you, Canada. Hashtag stopping violence, Haiti, and tagging the Haitian National Police. So that happened on January 18th. And then a couple days later, that tweet goes out. So one clue actually gives there's some evidence of who is running this operation. Because, of course, that's the big question, right?
Right.
If we look at this account, Esther Islan Germain has following five people. It has one single follower, and it was created on January 17th, right before that memorandum of understanding was signed. And the only person it follows is a man named David Kazansky. David Kazansky is the CEO of a private military security firm called Incas. And so this private military firm is based in Toronto, and it is actually the military firm that sold and delivered armored vehicles to Haiti back in October of 2022. And those armored vehicles were actually used to attack the G9 blockade on the fuel terminal, which, you know, we redacted, actually went and reported on from the ground. Later, in January, the Canadian government delivered another batch of armored vehicles by Incas. And if you look at on their Facebook page, there are numerous posts showing these deliveries and boasting that these vehicles were used in Haiti. So this, this firm works with NATO on its website. It shows it works with NATO. It works with the U.S. Department of Defense. It works with Canada's Department of National Defense. And you know, so it's pretty obvious. There are photos of an Incas executive with Franz Albay, the director general of the Haitian National Police. And so it's pretty clear here. I mean, it's pretty sloppy, I have to say. You got to ask why they wouldn't cover their tracks a little bit better. But I think it's, you know, it's just sloppy intelligence work. They gotta do a little better.
So they're, you know, they're nervous, right? Because our reporting has been unimpeachable. You were there in Port-au-Prince. You're interviewing these people on the ground. And we had, you know, we spoke to a number of Haitians, of course, who said absolutely they do not want intervention by the West. Leave us alone. Stop stealing our minerals. Stop stealing our resources. Let us stand on our own. Stop stealing our oil. All of those things. And of course, we were covering those armored vehicles arriving there, aiding the police and trying to smash into the barricade there around the fuel terminal and going after Jimmy Cherizier. You wanted to also talk about, when you spoke to Jimmy Cherizier just a few days ago about this involvement. What did he say?
Yeah, exactly. So as there's this attempt to manufacture consent with kind of this three-pronged effort with the Canadian government sending this warplane, the media pumping out these headlines to match the Canadian government's language of gang leader, and then this troll farm, they're saying, oh, the Canadian people want this. But we spoke to Jimmy Cherizier by phone, my colleague at Haiti Liberté, Kim Ives, and I, and we asked what he thought about this Canadian warplane flying over Haiti.
Premièrement, moi-même en tant que président et porte-parole force révolutionnaire Genève en famille et allié main tout patriote, mon qui remet pays, nous comptons toute intervention, n'importe qui pays il taille, nous comptons toute intervention militaire contre le peuple haïtien. Je dis à prétexte, on apprend pour dire que le pays a des gangs pour envahir le pays. Nous-mêmes, nous sommes conscients que le pays a un paquet de gangs violents qui a terrorisé la population. Ils ont fait cas des actions, ils ont kidnappé les gens et ils ont tué les gens sans raison. C'est les politiciens à oligarques qui mettent dans le pays.
So Dan, listening to him and then, you know, hearing the people of Haiti and what the involvement they want from the West, which is they don't, then these suspect Twitter accounts, which are like, oh, yes, this is fantastic. Canada's here with, you know, with aircraft. They're really helping us. We're really on board with this. I mean, on the face of it, it sounds like a total farce.
Yeah, I mean, there's, if you talk to anyone in Haiti, you go into the streets, no matter pretty much what the political sector is, nobody wants foreign intervention except the ultra wealthy oligarchs who are threatened by this kind of uprising coming from the slums of people who are desperate, impoverished, and have had enough. So the only forces that want intervention are the ones tied to the United States, the ones who are tied to Canada. But you know, so this whole attempt to create an image of regular Haitians who are just on Twitter saying, yes, please invade our country, is just a blatant farce. And this is military propaganda being pumped out on Twitter. So, you know, the deep state using social media, as it always has been, to agitate for war.
Yeah. And what's also, just to kind of put a pin on this, is that there was no coverage, no mainstream media coverage of this at all. And our coverage was it. And so even speaking to the United Nations, they said your coverage of what has been unfolding in Haiti has been really informative for us here at the United Nations to see what's actually happening on the ground. In fact, Kim Ives then spoke in front of the United Nations. We had Kim on the show. So they brought him in actually to give him their experience. So for these Twitter accounts to suddenly say, yeah, this has all been debunked based on what? Because there's no other reporting going on. There's nobody else. Based on what? Based on your own fake Twitter accounts and propaganda? That's what you're basing this has been debunked on, right?
Yeah, based on you know, what the Canadian government wants us to think, that Haitians think. And you know, Canada is just doing the U.S. government, the Biden administration's dirty work. So You know, it's so obvious and so pathetic, and you know, anybody who spends a few minutes looking at this could recognize. You know, I invite everyone, look at these accounts on Twitter. You know, go to them that you saw on the screen and examine these and see if you think this is real. And you know, you'll figure out real fast this is what's going on here, that the U.S. and Canada are gunning for intervention, and there's only one outlet redacted that's been on in collaboration with Haiti Liberté. So these two outlets that have been pushing back against this war propaganda. So you know, we're the ones doing it.
It's amazing too. I mean, we are vehemently anti-war on this show, and so you see these war propagandists who want to sell armored vehicles, who want to continue to make money off of you know, off of the destruction of other countries, and they're creating troll farms in order to create consent about an invasion of Haiti. It's amazing. It's amazing how this works. It's amazing how the deep state operates. We are literally watching it unfold in real time. Dan, thanks as always for your great reporting. And of course, we know this information because you were there. You were on the ground covering these stories. So thank you so much, Dan. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Clayton.
Thanks, Dan. We really appreciate it. So it's hilarious to watch these troll farms pop up and they create new accounts in January and then they retweet.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're new to Twitter, and we have one follower, the guy who makes money off of selling the armored tanks or the armored vehicles, and then we retweet all these other accounts. It's hilarious. Anyway, thank you to Dan for that.
My personal favorite was like when he sent me those images of like the where they got the images for the people in the Twitter accounts.
Oh yeah, the fake pictures.
Like, you know, they just grab random images off the internet as if like reverse image search isn't a thing.
They did a search for good looking Haitian, like good looking Haitian woman is like the Google search, and you can just find that image, and then that's what they used as their Twitter profile. Like, okay, good choice.
Yeah.
We've got more news to get to. We're going to cover what's going on in Australia with these vaccines. And for that, we're going to move to Rumble in just a few moments. So please come on over to Rumble. You can go to rumble.com/redacted. That is the place to go. Our stream will continue over there. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, because right now you can get up to 15 free stocks. 15 free stocks just for opening an account and making your initial deposit with Moomoo. Now, Moomoo is a multi-billion dollar company with millions of users around the world. It's one of my favorite trading apps where I set alerts and trade my commodity stocks. They have a new earnings seasons calendar built in, so you can see all of these different companies and what their earnings seasons will look like. So you don't have to go hunt and peck around if you want to invest in certain companies. You can do that. They also have a really great opportunity now for our Australian audience. You can get $110 in deposits extra just for opening an account inside of Australia and after you make your initial deposit. They're doing all sorts of really great things for our Australian viewers. Let me just pull this up here. Pull up my Moomoo notes here, which I can't find at the second. But so they are giving you 15 free stocks right now by going to redacted.inc/Moomoo. And you can take your trading skills to the next level because they have all sorts of courses and trading technology inside that will teach you how to trade. So if you want to invest in certain commodities, or you silver, gold producers, uranium producers, et cetera, you want to learn how to do that. And while this economy is kind of acting weird right now, you don't have to put in any of your own money. Just open the account, get your free stocks, and just kind of sit on it and wait right now. And then we'll see what happens over the next year. But in the meantime, you've got these stocks and you can learn, you can study how these things work. We just saw Disney this afternoon just now announcing 7,000 layoffs. So these companies are continuing to lay off, right? So a lot of these companies are going to be 40, 50% cheaper to buy than normally they would be. So an opportunity maybe to invest in some of these companies that are really, really undervalued at the moment. Again, to get these free stocks, go to redacted.inc/Moomoo. And get those 15 free stocks after you make your initial deposit. And our thanks to them for supporting the show. Appreciate that.
All right. Well, we're going to move over to Rumble now because we want to talk to you about new research about the COVID vaccine. And YouTube is not a friendly place to do that. So please click the link in the chat or what is typed down right there. It's rumble.com/redacted. We're going to say goodbye to our YouTube viewers. If you're not coming with us, we will see you here tomorrow. Thank you for joining. Please, like we said, this video was suppressed from the get-go, and we surmise that it has to do with the deep state's interest in the Nord Stream pipeline. And so please do share it out with your friends, either in its entirety or in small clips. And we will see you here tomorrow at the same time. Goodbye, YouTube. Hello, Rumble. We've been with you all along.
Hello,
we
Rumble.
See you. Good we see know you. You're there.
Good to see everyone here. Nice to see. Miss Shankdo says, my mom's friend got 5 shots. Yeah, and there's a lot of people that are just so... I mean, there's so many people, especially in our parents' like age group, that are just like uninformed about it. They just don't know about the information about what's going on with these vaccines and the vaccine research. And they're just running out every time, like they get a text alert from their whatever, they run out and grab another shot.
Yeah, I think people are starting to consider the COVID vaccine like a multivitamin. We're going to tell you why that may or may not be the best thing to do. But, you know, this idea that it's just a, like the way that we have seen the mainstream media covering the COVID vaccine, it's like, oh, but why not? Why not? And they are purposefully ignoring any vaccine injury and treating it again like it's just sort of a shot of kombucha. Like, just why not? Get it. You know, why not just do this?
I don't trust anything that doesn't have Flintstones on it. So if it has some Hanna-Barbera character on it, then I might consider, consider it if there's a Hanna-Barbera. Maybe,
we'll see.
Maybe Deputy Dog or
Deputy
or Droopy.
Dog. Like a Flintstone vitamin.
Yeah. What's going on over there?
I don't know. Okay, you want to tell us about Australia? Let's talk about Australia.
Australia is on to COVID vaccine number 5, for those of you keeping up with the government recommendations. They will now give this to anyone who has not had a vaccine within the last 6 months. So they're saying get these 6 months apart, or if you have not had COVID in that time frame. So if you did get a COVID diagnosis, they make you wait 6 months from your recovery, at least. You know, they're taking into account then your natural immunity, which is interesting because new research shows that the bivalent boosters are less effective against XBB.1.5. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But the Australian Health Minister, Mark Butler, said this about this new requirement. The vaccine booster advice from ATAGI is specific to the current Australian context in early of 2023. For this booster dose, all available COVID-19 vaccines are anticipated to provide a benefit. However, Omicron-specific mRNA booster vaccines are preferred over other vaccines. So that's a little confusing. You can get any COVID booster available. They're not picky, but they prefer the Omicron booster. That doesn't seem very solid advice.
It's kind of haphazard.
Just get whatever.
Just go grab whatever
it seems
you want.
Like it's like vaccine bingo. Like, okay, who's got the Omicron variant? We got Omicron variant. Like, who's got the Delta?
You know,
like bivalent booster.
Just get
check.
One of them.
Yeah. Now Australia is not. This is interesting. They're not at all authorizing these for anyone under 18 because they are acknowledging that this age group is not at high risk. I did, in fact, sort of glance through the Twitter replies to this Mark Butler, and there were a few people who are saying, why can't we get this for 5-year-olds? And I'm like, because read, that's why. Read a little bit about that. Now, Australia will roll out this fifth booster, even though news reports are that nearly a fifth of Australia's COVID vaccine stock was binned. That's the word for thrown in the trash amid warnings of a fresh wave of cases. So this is showing that the country threw out almost 20% of its COVID vaccines last fall because they expired, because people just didn't want them. They just sat there until their expiration dates. Only 40% of the population had a fourth booster, compared to 95% of the Australian population that had the first full dose. So you can see demand really waning. That's less than half that got their first full dosage of the boost of the COVID vaccine. But that won't stop the government from buying up the vaccines, clearly. Butler said that Australia already has 4 million Omicron boosters and has ordered 10 million more. The pharmaceuticals don't care. if they end up in the trash or not, because they're paid for.
Right. They're already paid. We don't care if you throw them out or not. It doesn't really matter.
Who cares what you do with them?
Right.
Now, about these bivalent boosters. A new study shows that they do not provide lasting immunity and are especially ineffective to the XBB.1.5 variant. This study was published in January, but it is still awaiting peer review. But it features researchers from Harvard Center for Virology and Vaccine Research, as well as researchers from Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. Here's the title page of the study in case you want to find it yourself. I always like to give you the title page in case you want to just go Google it and share it with your friends.
Because waning immunity, it's called.
Waning immunity against XBB.1.5 following bivalent mRNA boosters. Because I do know that a lot of you watch this show and then you repeat some of this to your friends and you need links at the ready to prove that we're not talking nonsense. I see you. I get it. So here is the title page and here is the abstract telling us that what they did was test antibodies for people who received the bivalent boosters and found that their levels of antibodies were about what they were either before the booster or within just 3 months. You see the conclusion there. By month three, these markers declined essentially to baseline levels prior to boosting. And so, okay, that's interesting. Does that mean that then we will need boosters every 3 months if the CDC gets its hands on this? Here is what one of the head researchers told to the Epoch Times says, this data suggests that once a year boosters with the current mRNA vaccines may not provide adequate protection for an entire year for those at high risk of complications of COVID-19. So this follows many other such studies that we have reported here, such as studies out of China showing that XBB.1.5 can evade protection, claims out of New York, the Public Health Center of New York City, showing that people who are vaccinated may actually be more likely to contract COVID. We covered both of those when they came out. So it's interesting that we're showing the lack of efficacy of this vaccine, yet more vaccines. And my worry is that the CDC will say, oh, vaccines wane after 3 months. Now we don't just need them once a year. Now we don't need them just every 6 months. We better just be taking them every 3 months.
Every 3 months.
Because the immunity is not sticking around. Even though we know that XBB.1.5 is the dominant variant that's circulating on the globe and that the bivalent booster is for BA4 and BA5. So that's not even that same strain. But sure, go ahead, Australia, order 10 million more. Why not? You get a booster. Like, just use up the taxpayer money. Get them.
And Australia, of course, has been really clamping down on free speech, censorship, and has been one of the most active countries around suppression of information and data around this. You know, and you have in the United States today this Twitter hearing. You had Nancy Mace, Representative Nancy Mace, who admitted during congressional testimony, she's a member of Congress. She said after taking the vaccine, she admitted that she now has asthma and she has like chronic pain as a result. And she said, you know, to be able to talk about this on social media, we were suppressed. You were not allowed to talk about this. You were blocked. You were banned. You were suppressed. And it could have prevented other people from having the same pain.
Yeah.
Same experience. If we were allowed to talk about it, well, and share it.
In a lot of ways, we still are. It still is repressed.
I mean,
because there's like YouTube is sort of relaxed some of it, but there's some things that they still leave up to their discretion and they do sometimes use it.
Right. Yeah. Even just preparing for this, you know, this study does say there is lack of efficacy of the vaccine. But I was like, should I write this? If we, you know, how can I say it? Is there a way I can say it?
That's what the study says. This is a scientific study.
That's why we moved over to Rumble so we can just say it. Yeah. And I don't have to worry about being called a crazy person or a conspiracy theorist or getting dinged for whatever it is we may say. And well, go ahead.
I was going to say, we had Retef Levy on yesterday, who is like, this is what he studies. He's a professor at MIT, and we could not put that on YouTube because they absolutely would not allow. Like, it's strictly forbidden in their terms of service, in their, like, community guidelines to let what this, like, actual MIT professor who studies, like, risk, and he was coming out on the vaccine, and we're not allowed to put that out there.
Yeah.
And it's, so it's like, because he's not, I guess he's not as
he's not up to YouTube's
standards.
I don't know, like their standards of medical, you know, like
right.
science.
He's just an MIT professor, so you know he's not on the YouTube science board. So he doesn't rise to that level. So Australia continues to just confound. I wonder, you know, that if you don't get these shots, will you go to one of Australia's COVID camps that they have set up? You know, their COVID quarantine camps that they set up for people all over the country, which is great.
Yeah.
One of the most draconian countries in the world right
the
now.
The data has shown that every subsequent booster has at least 20% drop off of adoption. So the original COVID vaccine was about 95%. Then the, I guess we'll call it the third shot or the first booster. How should we call that? First two is main vaccination. The next one, I think they had about 70%. And then below that was, you know, maybe about 50%. Now we're at about 40% for the fourth booster. So now we're calling this the fifth booster. And I think it'd be a miracle if they even get that 40% of the population to do this. But they're only recommending this for people with pre-existing conditions. They're really saying for people with comorbidities and people over 18. So they really are dialing back the recommendations and no children.
Oh, finally.
So
eventually it'll be no, you know, it won't be anybody. It'll be people from between the ages of 49 and 50.
Who are left-handed and have, visited a certain country in this time, like parking in New York City, street side parking.
Right. Oh, those are the worst. Yeah. Right,
like,
and at that point, Pfizer will have jacked up the price on each one of them to about $45,000.
Yes.
Because.
Yeah, exactly right.
So, please thank you guys for joining us. We really appreciate it. Who's left? Someone just left a super chat here or a Rumble chat.
It's an Australian.
Adrian Valentino from Australia says our politicians are getting out of control in Australia. They fine you $13,000 if you haven't signed up to a digital ID as a company director. The tax system, road rules system is all rigged. Politicians don't care. Wow. Yeah, I've heard just all kinds of craziness right now in Australia. That's just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys so much for subscribing to the channel here on Rumble. We're pushing almost 220,000 followers here, so we'd love to get up to 220,000. We have one of the most watched and streamed shows on Rumble, and Rumble was kind enough to tell us that we won an award as one of the most streamed shows here on Rumble, so thank you so much for
that. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, that's really exciting. So we couldn't do it without you guys, and we really appreciate you. We're here every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time covering the stories that are most important to the world, stories the mainstream media largely ignores. So please join us here on the show, 4 p.m. Eastern time right here on Rumble, and you can also find us on YouTube when they will allow us to be there.
All right, we'll see you here tomorrow. Thank you for watching, everybody. We really appreciate you.
Bye now.